Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. This is John Alls. We want to welcome you to the broadcast this morning. We also want to invite you to attend services with us. Our Sunday morning services start at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 4 p.m. prayer meeting, and a 4:30 worship service. Now for the radio broadcast today, we'll be finishing up on the message about the greatness of God Almighty. Now, studying about the greatness and power of God is a great encouragement to me personally. And in times like we're having now that seems so unsure or unstable, you know, it's a comfort to know that God is in control and that He knows what will be happening. You know, we know that because of sin, there will be bad times to come in this world. There's no getting around that. But we can take comfort in the fact that God's in control, and when it's all said and done, He'll still be in control. And one day, the saved will spend an eternity with Him in a new heaven and a new earth. And we won't have all these trials and troubles and war and hunger and all these things to fret and worry about, but instead it'll be replaced with a joy and a peace and a contentment, and that will be for an eternity with Him.
This morning I'd like to look again in the book of Psalms 46 and verse 10 as we think on the subject, the greatness of God Almighty. He is a most wonderful God. We have spent 2 Sunday mornings preaching about the greatness of God Almighty, and my, we haven't even scratched the surface of what a great and a marvelous God He is. Only by individual contemplation will you be able to even come close to understanding the greatness of God. Listen to Psalms 46 and verse 10. The Bible said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." It is our place as human beings to be still and know about God. It is our place to read our Bibles in quiet contemplation, seeking to understand more and more and more about how great God is. God is everywhere. God knows everything. And God does everything that is good. We have discussed some of the attributes of God. We've talked about how that God is an infinite God, that He cannot be measured, that God is an omnipresent God, that He is an independent God, that God is immutable. We have talked about how that God is omniscience. We've talked about the foreknowledge of God, the sovereignty of God, and the powerfulness of God. One thing we haven't touched on, and that is the holiness of God. I think it almost goes without saying that God is a holy God. When we speak about God being a holy God, we mean that God is altogether pure, that God is totally complete in moral integrity and righteousness. There is no hint of sin or evil in Him at all. Satan is the one who is altogether evil. Satan is the one who is seeking to disrupt God's kingdom. Satan is the one that is seeking to disrupt God's people. But it is God that gives grace and mercy and help in times of need. And you know why we have times of need? Well, that's because the devil is always stirring up a bunch of trouble and a bunch of problems. Someone would say, "Well, if God is altogether so holy and good and pure, then why is there so much sin in the world?" God did not cause sin to come into the world. God did not bring sin into the world. It is Satan that disobeyed the clear commandments of God. It is Satan that in his attempt to overthrow God and to sit on God's throne in the sides of the north, that Satan has brought sin into the world through Adam and Eve. It is sin that's the problem, not God. God answers prayer about sin. God, whenever we pray to Him and there's a sin that's troubling us, He'll give us a way out of that sin. If there is a disease that comes upon people, people ought to go to the doctor, and they also ought to pray, because God Almighty can give them blessings. God Almighty can heal people, and doctors are unable to do that. And doctors oftentimes will say, "Well, I know that God is the one that's given the healing right here in this situation, in this case. You see, God is altogether holy and right and just and good. Not only is God holy, but God is the eternal judge. You think about this, that God has created this entire world. God has set it all into existence. God has a plan and a purpose that He's working toward in all the circumstances of His life. God is a sovereign God. He is very, very powerful. And God is the eternal judge of every individual, of the individual acts, the individual thoughts, and the individual words that men do in this world. God is the eternal judge. No person, no entity, no thing can judge God because He is the eternal judge. And God is the final judge of all. There is no court of higher appeals from the court of God. There is no fancy lawyer who will stand and twist the law against what God intends. That will not happen. The Bible says that every knee shall bow before God. The Bible says that even the dead shall be brought out of the graves, and every person will stand before God, either at the judgment seat of the saved or the great white throne judgment of the lost. God is the final judge. Think about all these things that we've talked about concerning God. That He is an infinite God. He is an omnipresent God. Why, He is everywhere, knows everything, sees everything, knows everything, and He is a sovereign God. He's very powerful. And yet we find this, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In this world, there's a lot of religions, but there's only one way to get to heaven. I know I have heard, and I know you've heard, people say, well, you know, we're all trying to get there. Well, that's what people say. The fact is, there is only one way to get to heaven. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Acts. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. You see, if lost people are going to go to heaven, they're going to have to go through God. The God that we've talked about, the God of all judgment, the God of all mercy, the God of all grace, the Father of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to go through Him. You see, the Bible said very, very clearly, neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and verse 9, for we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many people are going to try to work their way into heaven, but it's not going to work at all. Because the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, not through any kind of works that we do. Notice again in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation does not come through church membership. Salvation does not come through works. Salvation does not come through anything you could ever think of except Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that we must go to, bringing our sins and trusting this Almighty God, and God will be merciful to us. As we thought about all these things concerning the greatness and the splendor of God, there's more that we need to consider. Notice this. All the things that we've seen, we have just scratched the surface of who God really is. Look in the book of Job, chapter 26. And the Bible says in verse 14, lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him, but the thunder of His power. Who can understand? Job has just relating some things concerning God and the things that He does in what we call nature. Notice what the Bible said in the book of Job 26, beginning in verse 6. The Bible said, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." Notice some things here that God does in verse 7. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end." You know what Job 26 verse 10 means? It means that God has set the limits of the waters. I know today that environmentalists are scared to death that the North Pole and the South Pole and all that ice is going to melt. They're afraid of global warming. But you think of what the Bible said here in Job 26 and verse 10. "He hath compassed the waters with bounds." How long, Lord? Look what it says in the Bible. "Until the day and night come to an end." You know what people ought to be concerned about? Instead of being concerned about global warming, they ought to be concerned about their soul and how they're going to stand before God. Scientists tell us, of course, that the world's going to warm up in a couple, 3 million years. We're all going to drown. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not going to be here. And none of those folks are either. The world's going to come to an end. We're living in the last days. And while men are trying to fix this earth, they ought to be concerned with standing before the eternal God who is their final judge. Notice also in verse 11 of Job 26. "The pillars of heaven trembled and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent." And then Job goes on in verse 14 and said, these are just little bitty things that we know about God. How can we really understand his great power? Moses, you know, desired to see God and his greatness and his splendor, but all he got to see was the hind parts of God. But notice something else. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible talks about that we're going to spend eternity learning more and more and more about God and who he is. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 6. "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches in his grace, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." What a blessing it is to know that we have a God that's more than we are. We have a God that we can serve and love, and we're going to spend all eternity knowing more and more and more about him. I pray today that you're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And I pray today that you'll do what the psalmist said in Psalm 46 in verse 10. That you will simply be still and know that God is God. I pray that you will take your Bible in your hand. And that you will read your Bible and learn for yourself. And in learning about God, you'll find great contentment. For we have a God that is able. We have a God that can take care of us.
You know, knowing that there's a higher power isn't good enough. You have to believe in the God of the Bible, the God that sent his Son to die for your sins. You have to believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, was crucified, and raised himself from the dead. And he did all that for you. And that you don't deserve it, but he did it for you anyways. You know, there's no more powerful person in this universe. And we truly serve a great and a mighty God, a God that's referred to as the beginning and the end. And another place in the Bible is referred to as the great I am, or the I am. You know, and those two words sum it up. They say he's everything and he controls everything. But yet we find in the Bible that even though he's everything and he controls everything, he still cares about you and he still cares about me. Now, we're out of time, but we do want to encourage you to call us at 636-673-2180 and leave us a message with any comments or questions that you might have. We also welcome you to log into our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. And again, we want to thank you for listening this morning, and don't forget to tune in next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's holy word.